Welcome to the Curious Women Podcast. I'm your host, Kylie Fignano, and I'm here with my co-host, Meg Hager. Here, we're going to have chats about women's health to teach you the things that you didn't know you didn't know. Hello, everybody. Meg's ready. We are here, Curious Women Podcast, and guess what, guys? What a treat. We have our very own Meg today, who is going to be talking to all of us about skin, acne, tying that in with gut health, hormones, right? We're going to go into all of right? I think that this is going to be really interesting. For some reason, the people that are coming to my mind and my heart right now, I don't know where this is coming from, Meg, are teenage girls. I'm feeling maybe, I don't know where this is coming from, but if you are listening to this and you have a little one in your life who is struggling with any of this stuff, acne, skin, and all of the kind of like emotional roller coaster things that go with it, maybe see what kind of takeaways you can pass on to them or maybe help bring into their reality, depending on how old they are and how much control you still have. But I think that this conversation, this topic is so emotional, right, Meg? Like, it's just...
Oh, yeah.
It's about yourself. It always gets tied into your self-worth and your what's the word that I'm... Confidence, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think that... And listen, I'm not saying that that's special for... teenage people saying across the board, but for, you know, most of our topics are angled more towards adult women, and for some reason this one is feeling like it could easily be passed down a little bit. So let's back up a little bit. What you got drinking over there?
I have had, as you know, for our listeners, Kylie and I had quite an adventure this morning, technologically. trying to finally arrive at recording this podcast. I had some
bunny
issues.
Are you telling me you're drinking? Are you drinking a mimosa? Is that what's going on?
You know what? It crossed my mind. I know it is Friday. Here it's Aloha Friday. And it did cross my mind. But no, where I was going with that actually is that I did not have time for like a good solid breakfast. So we had us a banana. And right now we are drinking some protein powder with some oat milk. Just shook it up a little bit.
Yum.
Here we are.
So here we are. That's the kind of day.
Yeah, it's that kind of day. I'm going to eat when we're done, like eat like a real meal when we're done recording, but it'll just hold me over for now. So
that sounds yummy.
Yeah, so that's what I'm drinking. What are you drinking over there?
I've got the dregs of my coffee. This is important. Mm. It's 2:30 in the afternoon for me, okay? Just so everybody knows. It's morning for Meg. But I'm drinking coffee number two, and one of Brian's clients brought us Vital Proteins Mocha Collagen Creamer. Mm. She said it hurt her stomach. I think, you know, the words tore me up is what was used, actually. But I love it.
Wow.
I normally use Four Sigmatics Creamer, but we were out of it. And so I put some of this in. Absolutely. I know how things in the gut connect to the skin and acne in a way, but my starting point is something different, I think. And so I am so excited, Meg, to pick your brain and ask you, and this is my first question, okay? Where do you start when somebody comes to you and they say, I'm going to make a person up, okay?
Yeah.
They have been struggling with acne all over their face. Mm-hmm. For years. Maybe they have done Accutane and several other medications. That's the only one that I actually know about. dermatologists left and right, okay?
Mm. Yep.
Is this the type of person that you see a lot of, first of all?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 1,000%. Usually.
This was also you.
It was me for 15 freaking years. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay, guys. So 15 years.
Actually, it might be more than that. Yeah, I had my first pimple at 9. I wasn't even menstruating. Got my first pimple at 9 freaking years old.
You remember that, don't you?
It was traumatic, man. This
Sure. Yeah,
knife. I was like, what the
sure.
fuck is this on my face?
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Yeah, so it was a long struggle. And so where I start, I always start by asking, what does the acne look like first and foremost? Because if you have acne that's more red and inflamed and cystic, those big bumps that are under the skin, and a lot of times
Ugh.
they even hurt,
Ugh.
that to me means that it's mostly an internal cause because they're so deeply rooted in the skin. And when we think about the pathology of how a breakout like that forms, it's coming from too much oil production from the oil glands under the skin. And on top of that, not enough, like not fast enough exfoliating of the dead skin cells on top. So it gets trapped under there. But then what happens is something, this is like one of the most wild things I think I've ever heard. But when your pore is clogged, your body responds to it in an immune-based way. So there's
Ah.
actually a lot of research out there now. Well, I can't say a lot, but there's more research out there now suggesting that acne might actually be an autoimmune condition.
Oh
Because
my God.
what it does is it sends signals to the rest of your body being like, hey, we need help over here. Send your soldiers in. So that's when your white blood cells come. It's like a message that there's a wound to be healed. And that's where that inflammation comes from, where the redness comes from, where the swelling comes from. So, backing up for a second, if we're dealing with these big, inflamed, painful bumps, it's definitely more of an internal cause. And if you're somebody who's struggled with these, you know damn well that there's no pimple patches, there's no topical stuff, there's nothing that works for these.
And can I ask a question about that? Are these the ones that they itch almost like right or that's how when you're describing this and I'm imagining and feeling my own experience here. I feel like I can like right around this like cystic you can't even pop it if you wanted to because it hasn't
No.
come to the surface yet. It's so itchy to me. Are these the same things?
Sometimes they itch. They don't always.
Oh,
More
so
so I hear
brutal.
people in pain. But
Very
absolutely, they
painful.
can itch. They can certainly itch.
That's awful. God. Oh my God. Okay, so these kind of breakouts are coming from an internal messiness, we'll call it for now, right?
It's
Okay.
like an internal trigger or an internal cause. Yeah, most
Okay.
definitely.
Okay. What are some other kinds? Are there other
So
kinds?
there are. So the other
Okay.
kind is what, if you go to the dermatologist, they might tell you that it's considered more mild, although equally emotionally stressful,
That's
is
important.
right when you have, they are almost smaller. They're called closed comedones, and what they look like is they almost look like little tiny little skin colored bumps. So if you put your hand and run it over your skin, if you feel anything that kind of feels like bits of sand or like little tiny tiny bumps, that's more what we're talking about, and or blackheads. So that kind of, these are not inflamed, they're not red, they are not
Okay.
large. And they are also, they are skin colored. So this kind of
Interesting.
acne, it can come from an internal trigger just because it means your skin's producing more oil. But a lot of the times, when I have someone who has acne that's primarily this kind, I tend to lean more toward a topical thing. Like they're maybe just not exfoliating, either in the right way. Or maybe they're exfoliating too much. So there's quite there's a little bit of an art when it comes to balancing
Okay.
the topicals with that. Now, there are some cases, I do have some clients where they start with very inflamed cystic acne, and then going through the healing process, their acne changes and then dwindles down to this more kind of mild sort of acne. And in those people, I do find that things like stress or lack of sleep or high glycemic index foods are kind of the trigger there. So it can vary, but that's the other kind of, those are the two opposite sides of
Okay.
the spectrum. Then you have an intermediate kind of, and I think dermatologists would label all of these a little bit differently, but I'm just speaking, this is my own process for how I kind of categorize them. Then you have what I think is probably the most common type of acne, and you can consider it mixed. So you've got some of the former and some of the latter, right? You've got those some big cystic painful ones. You've got some maybe blackheads, some closed comedones, but you've also got this other type that we haven't really talked about yet, which are red and they do have pus, and but they're more superficial, right? So these are like the poppable ones that you might see. And how I start is just by telling what the acne looks like. It gives me some ideas about where I need to start looking for internal causes or external.
So let's say it's decided that there's something internally going on. What is the next? I'm going to ask a two-layered question here. What's the
Go
next
for
thing
it.
that you do? Like, where does your mind go? But for somebody who might be listening who is not quite ready to start working with you or somebody or at all, they still want to kind of like take things on themselves. What should they be thinking about?
So the first thing that I think about in my practice in my one-on-one program, I actually use specialized testing. So I use a test called GI MAP, which I'm sure I know you're familiar with. Do you use that too in your practice?
I use GutZoomer now, but I have used GA Map.
So I really like GI MAP because a lot of the species and the markers on that specific test are can be directly connected to acne as far as the research goes. So it's just the most helpful one for me to be able to know, okay, cool, there's less than detectable limits of
I
Acromantia
knew you were
mucinophila.
going to say
It's the best one. It's the
Acromantia.
best one. But as you know, that is like one of the main players in anti-inflammatory processes in the body. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. But so there's GI MAP, and then there's a test called Dutch, and that is a urine-based hormone panel. So the reason I use Dutch is because when you go to a doctor's office, if you think you have hormonal acne and you go to get your blood drawn at the doctor and they take your testosterone, they take your LH, they take, which is luteinizing hormone, maybe they take your estrogen or estradiol, maybe progesterone. These are all great places to start, but unfortunately, what we don't see in the blood samples is we don't see how, like, what is your body doing with those hormones? So, a common example is a lot of women that I work with have normal testosterone levels in their blood, but what the blood doesn't tell them is that your body actually can be making a stronger version of testosterone, like a Hulk version. So, and this can be because of genetics, it can be because of inflammation, it can be because of a lot of things. But what that means is that it can be normal in your blood. But then when we do the Dutch test, if we see it's kind of that stronger version, then we know, oh, so then green tea or reishi or, some of these things that prevent that can help lower that would be helpful for that person. So that's one of a million examples, but it just these tests help me see what your body's doing with certain things, and that's what I need to know in order to really get to the root cause or the root causes, because there's usually many.
So one of these root causes, in other words, is hormones. Okay. So we've got hormones, we've got a stool sample test, so something going on in the gut that's going on. And those are your two major starting points for starting to ID the root causes.
Yes, there's also another kind of piece of it that I can get information from both of those tests on is the body's ability to detox. So there's markers on both of those tests. They don't give me the full story. We don't really have a great marker yet for how well your body detoxes, but being able to put the information together from both of those tests let me know, because that is again one of the really common reasons why people struggle with acne is, like you said, gut issues, hormonal imbalances, issues detoxing. So that's my starting point.
Because we detox through one of three pathways, through our urine, through our bowel movements, and through our skin, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Right. Okay. Okay. So now, what about that person who is not quite ready to work with somebody? What, so the starting points of gut health, hormones, detox, I mean, God, so broad, right? Those categories are so broad. We could go so many different ways in each of those. What if I'm that person? What are some things that I can be thinking about or doing or trying that might actually be worth the energy of doing it? You know what I mean?
Oh
Okay,
yeah, I
tell us
absolutely
some
do.
of that.
So first of all, I do a free mini assessment. So for anyone who want to jump on a call with me so I can sort of help you narrow it down, because like you said, these things are so broad. And I know for my fellow acne sufferers, I know how emotionally taxing it is to try and embark on something and then figure out later that it didn't actually work. So you really want to know that what you're doing has purpose. So just a side note, any of you want any extra free help with that, go ahead and check out my free mini assessment. Now,
We'll make sure that link is in here for you guys.
yes. Now, having said that, there are three very specific things that I tend to recommend as a first line of defense. And the reason why is because they're just like so amazing. They're like little golden nuggets of information, and they kind of help all three of those things that we just talked about. So, no matter what your root causes are, these things will likely help. They may not be enough to get you where you want to go, but they are really likely to at least help you get going in the right direction. So, the first thing is get 30 grams of fiber every single day. Oh, yes. And I just want to point out here that 30 grams may not seem like a lot to some of you, because I'm sure there are some listening saying, I eat vegetables all the time. I eat a lot of beans. I eat all the things. And that's wonderful. Yes, go queen. That is you. Great. However, I think we overestimate truly how many actual grams of fiber come from things like produce, right? Like they're great, but your biggest fiber getting foods, right, Kylie, are like your beans and your quinoa, your oats and things like that. You get so much more for your buck. You could have vegetables at every single meal, but you might only end up with like 20 grams of fiber for the day, which is still great, but
I'm gonna say something here real quick because I think this is gonna really paint the picture for you guys. When you, and we might have said this at some point, but I'm gonna repeat it, it's worth it. When you look at a container of like mixed greens, right? You guys are with me here. A container of mixed greens. You might do two handfuls of that in a salad and think, oh my God, perfect. I've got a lot of fiber in the salad. It's greens, right? When you look at the nutrition label, you're gonna look for fiber and you're gonna see it'll say something like 3 grams of fiber. Look at the serving size and you're gonna see that it's the entire container. So you have to eat the whole container in order to get 3 grams. So if that container lasts you all week, you're really not getting a lot in that salad, you guys. So yeah, it's not, listen, that doesn't take away the importance of veggies, right? And greens.
Definitely.
I think you're gonna get there when it comes to detox, right?
Yeah.
But the point is, you guys really might want to consider as a starting point doing an inventory. Do an inventory of the fiber intake you're actually taking in so that you have an appropriate starting point. Okay, keep going with the fiber. I
Yes.
think that
So
example is so interesting.
yeah. And I also want to point out too that and this will be the theme for all three of my little golden nuggets of information, is that a healthy diet is not the same as an acne healing diet. It's not. They
Ooh,
are,
say that again. Say it
yeah.
again.
A healthy diet is not the same as an acne healing diet. They are different things. So what I mean by that is that you could have what's considered a healthy diet. You could get your veggies in at most meals. You could get your recommended 20 to 25 grams of fiber, which is the current recommendation, I believe, for Americans.
Think you're right.
You could, not eat processed foods and things like that. That's all great. However, people don't actually need more of things like antioxidants, produce, like, the nutrients that we mentioned in the greens, fiber. We need more of a specific types of fats. So we need both omega-3s, which everyone, most people know, are given the credit for being your anti-inflammatory fats, which is true. But acne-prone people also need a very type of omega-6, which is called linoleic acid, and it's anti-inflammatory. So there's a lot of nuances to an acne healing diet that are more than or in addition to a healthy diet. So I just wanted to make that distinction. Yes.
That's really huge. And I think also should feel quite encouraging to those of you who feel like you're doing all of the right things with your diet and are still struggling with this thing. It might not be that you're very far off. Maybe you just need more of something. So that might be a great
Absolutely.
takeaway for some of you.
And that's actually what I tell a lot of my clients or potential clients when I do the free mini assessments. A lot of them come to me and they're frustrated. They're like, I am doing wrong. I'm eating healthy. I don't eat sugar. I don't eat gluten. I don't eat dairy. I don't do all these things, and then I'll find that sometimes they're being too restrictive or some with the diet and or some, but anyway, the point in saying that is that I wanted to make the distinction that the recommendations are 20 to 25 grams for Americans, but I really actually recommend that acne-prone people get at least 30 grams of fiber a day. So that's my long-winded first line of defense. And what fiber does, as you know, Kylie, is it helps detox the body. Higher fiber diets have been shown to be healthier on a wide variety of ways, but also help build the gut microflora like Akkermansia muciniphila, like something called Faecalibacterium prysnitzii, which like they're like BFFs. You gotta have both of them. Gotta have both of them. Super anti-inflammatory and protective. So they help. They also, with all that fiber, you're promoting regular bowel movements, helping draw toxins out of the body. So there's a lot of well-rounded ways. Oh, and fiber has also been shown to help balance your hormones, such as, and we're not just talking about sex hormones, but like regulating your blood sugar and your insulin, right? So that's one sort of set of hormones. But some people also have estrogen dominance, which means that your body just doesn't handle estrogen very well. And higher fiber diets have been shown to help bind and draw excess estrogen out of the body. So it kind of helps with all of those things. So that's number one. Number two, and this kind of is a nice, it kind of goes hand in hand with what we just talked about, but a little bit of a distinction is that I recommend that you double your vegetables. And this goes back to what I was saying about a healthy diet does not equal an acne healing diet. Because remember, acne prone people need more. So if we're taking into consideration that the majority of our produce is actually less, has less nutrients in it to begin with because of our soil, because of our processing, just because of transportation and the way and our cooking methods and stuff like that, you're already at that disadvantage. And several studies show that acne-prone people are statistically lower in things like vitamin A, vitamin E, zinc, magnesium. So these are all things that play a role in your inflammatory processes, in your immune system. So making sure that you are doubling your vegetables, if you are used to having a half a cup of vegetables at meals or something, go for a cup, maybe even go for 2 cups if you can. That's, I tend to say, get as much in as you can. And that's why. Also, we're not absorbing all the nutrients that we eat either. So you really, when you think about someone who's acne prone, you could arguably say you're maybe getting 15% of the nutrients are just because of those things that we mentioned. We don't know for sure, but just to paint the perspective. So that's number two. Number three, oh, and the way that that helps all these different modalities is, of course, as you mentioned, Plants or vegetables and fruit are full of antioxidants. And these are the things, these are like, you can think of these as like little soldiers for your body, right? Like when you get them, you eat them and they kind of are dispersed throughout the body and they basically like grab onto the toxins and like neutralize them. So they're like your body's soldiers, kind of.
That's a
So,
great image. That's great.
thank
Yeah, think about that
you.
when you're eating your veggies,
Yeah,
guys.
you're sending out the troops when you eat your vegetables.
I love that.
Yeah. So that is really, really important for detox. Also, your hormones don't just pop up out of nowhere, right? Like we need certain nutrients to be able to not only make the proper amount of hormones, but also to process the hormones properly. So by making sure you're getting the right nutrients, magnesium, as an example, is needed in almost every bodily
Yeah,
process
something
that you have.
crazy.
Like, magnesium is like the superstar. You need magnesium for everything. So, in order to make sure that your hormones are functioning properly, you will have to make sure you have enough magnesium. So, some examples, that's how that ties into that. It breaks down components, toxins in a way to make them handleable, like sort of, you're kind of creating, you're taking toxins that and then making them into a different version that your body is then able to excrete or get rid of. So the phase two part is where this is happening, and that's what ECGC and green tea does, is it speeds that process up. So you're able to get rid of more of those toxins that you need to be able to get to. So, as you can see, that's how it plays into the detox piece. Now, yes, green tea is also super anti-inflammatory. So, no matter what is going on, if you have those bigger, redder, more cystic types of breakouts, or if you have that sort of mixed bag type of acne where there's some poppable ones, but they're still red. You still need that anti-inflammation piece, and green tea can be really helpful to do that for you. Now, the final piece of this for green tea that I just think is so freaking cool is, remember how I was talking earlier about testosterone and how, right? So green tea actually has the ability to block the conversion to testosterone in certain amounts. Yes. And back to your point about earlier in the episode about this maybe being really helpful also to include younger women, like teenage women. I think absolutely women that we typically talk to can get a lot from this because most of my clients happen to be women our age, but anyway, when you are a teenager, it's pretty much that you there's like one reason for acne pretty much when you're a teenager, and it is that testosterone, basically. I mean, your hormones are going crazy, everything's going nuts, most people's testosterone is through the roof. Like, that's just kind of right. So green tea could be really helpful for you if you're a younger listener and you are struggling with skin issues. Not only is green tea super anti-inflammatory, but it's not risky. There's very little risk to it. Unless you're anemic, don't go like pounding green tea if you're anemic. And it's easy to do. So now, if you're not sure, if you have a testosterone issue, you still can get the anti-inflammatory benefits and the detox benefits from it. So it's just a wide array of ways it can sort of really be helpful.
Okay, so let's recap.
I know, I
You
just
are
threw a
a
lot.
person, I love it. It's so great. This is exactly what I was asking for. You are a person who's been struggling with acne. Maybe your diet is right where you think it should be. Maybe it's really far off. Three things that you can do. Start drinking some green tea. Super anti-inflammatory. Lots of antioxidants. Helps with detox. Possibly will help with testosterone if that's part of your problem. You don't even really need to know. That's the first thing. While you're getting used to drinking your green tea, start tracking your fiber. If you're not at 30 grams a day, increase your fiber to 30 grams a day. That's a whole separate conversation.
Slowly with water.
I was just going to say that's a whole separate conversation that we could get into. If you go too fast, I'm going to tell you from personal experience, you are not immune, guys. You're going to get constipated. Just ease into it. Yeah. We'll have a different conversation. And then thirdly,
when we double interview Kylie, we can do that.
There we go. Double your veggies. And strangely, this is less about getting more fiber and more about getting more nutrients that are going to be supportive for all of the internal processes that your body needs to do. So those are your three takeaways, guys, right off the bat. So go get some green tea. I'm going to say, too, green tea is not one of those teas that you want to just leave steeping in the water. Like, you can do that with peppermint tea or herbal teas. The taste changes dramatically. So I would really, if you don't think you like green tea, play around with that. It gets really bitter very fast. So that's just my personal two cents.
Well, it's funny because remember when we were talking to, was it Eleni? Eleni?
Yeah.
We were talking to her about bitter foods. And so that's kind of why I was asking about green tea and coffee, because they do have those bitter tastes to them.
So, oh, that's right. I forgot.
Yeah.
About that.
So it's also kind of another piece. Like, if you have gut acne and you're drinking green tea with your meals, maybe it could help stimulate those gastric juices and the process and stuff, because it's a bitter beverage.
Green tea has a lot of things. You can connect it to a lot of different things.
Yes.
Okay. That actually brings me to my next question. I'm going to ask this in a really broad way, because I think this is probably the way that most people are thinking. Is there a thing, I'm going to say like a broad diet, that people who are struggling with acne should be following? For example, I know a lot of people are going to think, and some of this might be true, so this is what we want to know. Yeah. I have to be gluten-free. I have to be dairy-free. No nightshades. I have to do this. I have to do that. Is there a common theme that you see that tends to be helpful, at least to a certain point? Or is it super across the board, just like forget all of that, it's individualized, a little of all of it? What do you see?
It's a little of both. So what I'll say is that first and foremost, I rarely bring on a new client and automatically am like, no dairy, no gluten. Like, it's that those pieces are very, very individualized. And I don't believe in restricting the diet further for no reason. So again, another benefit of testing, when we do the GI map, we can see at least, it's not the whole piece of the puzzle, but we can see at least one marker to tell us if we think maybe there's sensitivity to gluten or whatever. But I also use history. Like, do you think you've had, have you noticed any weird things when you eat gluten or dairy or whatever? So that piece is usually very individualized. I rarely even worry about nightshades unless somebody has other autoimmune issues. Like if they also have psoriasis or they also have a family history of autoimmune things, maybe we'll do some trial and error, but it's not usually one of the first things on my list. So all of those pieces are very individualized. But what I will say is that there's a handful of diet patterns that tend to be very helpful. And I stress the idea about a diet pattern because I want to make it clear that people ask me all the time, like, what foods are best or worst for acne? And the answer is, it's not individual foods. Food is rarely a cause of acne. It's a trigger.
Say that again.
Food is rarely a cause of acne. It can be a trigger for some people, whether you have sensitivities or not enough fiber or not enough nutrients, but it's rarely a cause. So the pattern of diet, meaning what you do most of the time, is so much more important than each individual food. Having said that, things like a Mediterranean diet or what's called a low glycemic index diet, those have been found in research to be helpful for most people with acne. So I typically recommend I have a very specialized diet example and booklet and things like that that I give my clients to customize for them. but it's sort of a mishmash of things. It's not one
Yeah.
specific pattern, but the things that a low glycemic index diet and a Mediterranean diet pattern have in common is that they are generally higher in fiber, higher in nutrients and antioxidants, and they don't mess with your blood sugar. So that's kind of where we're going with those general pieces.
Okay, so I'm gonna say some like hard truths right here and tell me if I need to rein it in. But I think what we're talking about here is if you are a person struggling with acne, and maybe you've been this way your whole life, take an audit of what you do most of the time. You don't need to take, a fine-tooth comb yet. Look and be really honest with yourself. What do I eat most of the time? If you find processed foods most days of your week, that's what we're talking about here, guys. That's not included in a Mediterranean diet. Those things are not included in a lower glycemic or basically lower sugar diet, okay? Does it mean, and Meg, tell me if I'm wrong here, it doesn't mean you can't have them once in a while. Nobody is suggesting that they're off the table completely. But I love this perspective that you gave here. If the things that you do the most, if the habits that you have in your day the most often are not reflective of high fiber, whole foods, nutrient dense foods, and anti-inflammatory properties in those foods, that's your starting point. You don't have to question anymore. And all of that stuff you could do for free. All of that stuff is in your control. It gives you the power. You now understand, oh, I can do something here. I can do something here. There's no cream, there's no topical, there's no medication, there's no doctor's appointments. You have to feed yourself anyway. Is there a way that you can adjust your daily habits slowly, right? One thing at a time to inch you closer to this Mediterranean pattern, lower glycemic eating pattern. I love that. That's a question you can sit with because, I mean, you got to go to the store soon. If not today, it's gonna be soon. How can you create a new set of habits that's going to support you in a different way?
Absolutely. And I tend to just to put this into perspective for people about like what do I mean by most of the time or like what's a
Oh,
pattern?
yeah. What does
It's
that
like
mean?
I would say 90 to 95% of the time you are eating a certain way, and then 5 to 10% of the time you're enjoying, you're having treats, you're doing whatever.
You're
And the
going on
way that
vacation, you're going out.
And the way that breaks down is like over the course of a month, that might mean like 3 meals, maybe meals, not days, like meals. So that could be a dinner out. It could be maybe when you're on vacation, it might be more because it'll be longer than 3 meals, obviously. But it's just to give you that perspective of like what that means.
That's great, guys. Okay, so do you see what that means? That does not mean every weekend.
That would be a different pattern.
That's a different pattern. That is really helpful. It does not mean Monday through Friday you're nailing it and then on the weekends you go rogue. It also doesn't mean that you can't have treats. I really want to be clear about that. We all know that that type of restriction is a different problem and not sustainable and not healthy, not an approach that we're pushing here. But I love this idea of most of the time and using that example of maybe it's 3 days. Days. I'm meals. Meals, not days. Meals, not days. That's really huge. I think that's gonna really hit for some of you. I really think that's gonna hit.
Also keep in mind everybody's different. So the ideally the goal is that you might get to a point where you could just focus on Monday through Friday and then maybe not go rogue on the weekends, but just be a little bit more relaxed. But when you're actively trying to make a change, you have to be a little bit more conscious of what you're doing.
Yeah, there's less wiggle room in the beginning, isn't there? There really is. You almost have to kind of earn that buffer zone. You really do, because if you're not like solid in that, that will you step outside of what you're trying to do, it's hard to get back into it. I know.
Yeah,
I
and
know.
something that I say, and I think it really helps. I hope my clients would say the same. But something I say in the beginning that I think is really helpful is that I really try to avoid having them look at an acne healing diet as a way of restriction, the way that I think about it. And that's why you'll hear me say, instead of focusing on excluding processed foods, even though it's important, I'll say, how many vegetables or how many grams of fiber can you pack into your day? And if there's still room, great. Like, do whatever you want, but getting those things is first and foremost. And often what happens is they're so full or so satisfied from their healthy acne healing meal that they're just kind of like, I don't really need it, you know? So it's working from a place of how much nourishment can you get into your day versus worrying about all the things you can't eat. That's really the perspective and the lens that I like to work from. I just think it's so much more positive and healthier and
It's a
easier.
really, yeah, it's a simple mindset shift. What can I add in instead of what do I have to take out? It's a totally different narrative. It's a totally different sense of power, a sense of control, sense of control. Yeah. Wow, amazing. Okay, and then
Yeah, so I love this question. I get this question a lot.
I think
And
I've asked you this before, like years ago. I have referenced the Facebook message several times. I really have. I really have. That was like before we actually were friends. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so. We'll have to tell you guys, our listeners, a story of how Kylie and I met another time,
That's
because
really.
it's pretty funny. Anyway, so I first and foremost, the thing to know is there's no science or research that says one area connects a root cause to the other. And truly, I would be suspicious if there was, because it's such a complex subject that I would kind of be suspicious. Like, really? You figured out how to prove this in science? That's a little, like, that's
Interesting.
weird.
That's
So,
weird.
right? That's suspicious. So I would be suspicious if there was. Now, having said that, I think after it's like that area there. So those areas, yes. So those areas and your chest, back, arms, butt, body acne, typically I see it's either a stress issue or a detox issue, typically.
Okay, stress or detox?
Sometimes, again, it differs with a lot with from person to person, but in general, that's what I see. If it's in the chin area and around the mouth, and when I say chin, I mean literally just the chin. I don't mean extended out into the jawline area. I've found that that's actually something else. So around the mouth and chin area, so like from the corners of your mouth and straight down, maybe even under, like maybe on your neck a little bit in that area, I find that to mean it's very hormonal related. Like, if you've got some stuff going on there, typically it's pointing to hormonal issues. Again, not all the time.
That's my
If,
personal experience as well.
yeah,
Every
yeah.
fucking month.
Yeah. I have noticed too, I fall outside of that box. I get what I call the obligatory neck pimple when I get one big like cystic pimple on my neck before I get my period. So
Obligatory neck pimple.
every time it is so funny too, because it's just, I don't know, it's I don't even get mad about it. I'm just like, oh, okay, yeah, body, cool, thanks for
Hey
sending me this
guy.
message. I
Hey,
hear you, babe,
buddy.
let's go. Yeah. Get out the heating pad, get out the full moon tea or whatever it is, the menstrual tea. So that's, I usually see that. The jawline area, so like from that place we were just looking at, from your corner of your mouth down and back towards your ear, that a lot of people misconceive as hormonal issues, but I actually have found that I more often than not it's related to gut problems.
Ah, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So again, you know, this isn't for everybody, but or what I'll find is people who have acne primarily in this area have hormonal issues because of gut problems. So,
Oh, no. Yeah. That's funny that you just clarified that
yeah.
because that's how I heard it in my head. That's
Yeah.
really funny. Yeah. I'll tell you from the other side of things, there are so many people when they fix their gut, they're not even worried about their acne because they feel so awful with GI stuff. And when they fix that, their acne calms the hell down. That was my personal experience as well. Dairy was actually a huge thing for me personally. It's not anymore, but it was. It was. So, okay. So that is a terrific review. So I hope that some of you can see yourselves in those different examples and allow that to help guide where you might decide to take some of your next steps, okay? Because as always, we want these conversations to bring to the surface the action that you want to go home and take. Otherwise, you're just listening to a story, right? So, what
Or, I
is it
mean,
that
we're
you
kind of
need?
fun.
We're kind of fun, and we don't blame you for wanting to hang out with us, but we also are gonna push your ass a little bit. We want you to be doing, we want you to feel empowered to take some of these next steps, which means that you need to feel, anyway, I find it means that you need to feel that you have a basic level of understanding as to why you are taking these next steps. Otherwise, you're just shooting in the dark. And if you are like us, you've done that way long enough, and you don't need to listen to us to help you continue to do that. So hopefully this helps provide a little structure and a little organization. And Meg, is there any last gem of information that you think would be really important?
Oh gosh. Well, I could talk about this all day, so I'll try to really but what I will also say, I think is really important is that one thing that I notice as well, when you've struggled with acne for so long, you tend to try to grasp onto the idea that we can control our bodies or that we can control specifically our acne. So this is where I'm sure you've heard this before, and anyone listening who has acne, I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about, but like the acne anxiety of like, do I have acne because I'm anxious, or is my anxiety because of acne?
Wow, yeah.
And it's this idea of we think for some reason that we can control our body or that we can control our acne. And what I really want to make clear is, once again, your body is smarter than you, and it wants you to hear its message. So if you have acne, it's asking you to pay attention and to hear the message it's trying to send you, rather than trying to see it as something you need to control. It's asking you to take a step back and say, hey, am I getting my fiber? Am I getting my vegetables? Am I managing my stress? And, you know, so that's one thing that in my program, I really try to take the focus away from the idea that we can control our acne or control our bodies, and actually creating a partnership with your body so that in the future, when you get your obligatory neck pimple, you see it as a sign, as just, hey girl, just checking in, giving you a little heads up that we're about to bleed. You know, like it's not something to be mad at. It's just, oh, all right, cool. I hear you. I'll go stock up on my whatever it is that I need, you know? So,
Oh, I
yeah.
love that. I love that. It feels less at war with yourself, which we have enough reasons to feel that way already. We need not add this onto it. So
Oh, yes.
that's really great. Okay, and then how can people find more about this? What if they want to work with you or get some of your free information? Where can people find you?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram at acne.nutritionist, and I'm also on TikTok with the same handle. I embarrass myself on TikTok every single day. So if you follow me, don't mind my theatrics, just like and follow. That's enough. So that's where you can find a lot of free content and tips. In my Instagram bio, I also have a lot more free content, like I have a free acne quiz if you want to just sort of get some information as a starting point about what might
I
be going
love a
on.
quiz. I love a
Good.
quiz.
Oh yeah, quizzes are the best.
Yeah, good.
And if you whether you want to work with me or not, sign up for a free mini assessment. I enjoy doing them. I love them. So always happy to jump on and help you kind of narrow down what the root causes might be. And that's the first step to working with me anyway. So, whether you do or you don't, it's fine. Either way, most people, at least that I know of, walk away from those assessments feeling really good and really empowered. So,
Amazing.
yeah.
That's such an amazing offer that you do. That's really cool.
Thanks.
You
Thank
guys should
you.
really think about that. If this has been something that you're struggling with, I mean, here we go. That was a ton of free stuff to help get you more in tune and more aligned.
Oh, yeah.
And so often it's just a simple matter of paying attention, right? We hate
Most
to say
definitely.
that. We hate to accept that because it's not like fun and sexy, you know? It's not like some crazy cool new diet to do, but really, God, it comes down to that. So, and sometimes being able to pay attention means having a mirror in front of you, a Meg in front of you telling you, hey, take a look at these things, ask yourself these questions, and try XYZ. So, you guys, I hope that that was an incredibly beneficial and informative. I feel like we did a good mix of getting into the science and also keeping the surface level. So let us know in the comments what your questions are. And if you want us to dive in a little deeper on any one of those topics that we kind of scratched today. So, Meg, you want to close us out here?
Should we close out? Well, actually, for our listeners, we tried a little bit of a different format this time. You'll notice we just sort of jumped. We did a little segment and then we just jumped into content a lot faster. So let us know if you like this. Let us know if you want to keep doing this. We want to do what feels right for you guys. And
Yeah.
so just let us know. We're happy to adjust for what's more beneficial for you. But the one thing we're missing is we did not talk about our health what the fuck moments yet. So do you have one,
Oh
Kylie, that you want to share?
yeah. You know, I don't have one this week. I think that my week this week was a little funky. I was on vacation this weekend and I came back, my flight was all messed up, and so I have felt a bit in survival mode this week, to be honest with you. It's been one of those weeks, so it's kind of my own what the fuck. I also, you guys are gonna relate to this. I had my period this week and I felt normally not so bad. Not so bad. You know, it kind of comes and goes. It's okay. I felt so sick. I was so sick this week. I think 'cause I was traveling and I was super dehydrated, and I was like, I got home and I was getting on the metro to come back to the apartment, and I was like, I'm gonna vomit. Yep, it's any moment now. It's gonna ha You're like pulling up your pants so that they're over your stomach so that they don't cut off at any point. You know what I mean, right? Or you're like in public and you're like, how far can I pull my yoga pants away from my body without somebody thinking I'm being completely inappropriate? And then for me, I do this thing where I'm like it's almost like beating a drum on my uterus. It feels amazing. It just helps so much for me. Which look, you look like a crazy person. You
Yeah,
look like a
but listen.
crazy person.
Listen, if it helps, who cares?
I felt a little like a crazy person, if it helps. The person on the metro across who was sitting across from me was definitely like, I was looking at them like, what are you doing here? And they were looking at me like, the fuck is wrong with you, girl? Why are you beating yourself up? I promise you that had I said it, they would have been like, I understand completely. Carry on. That
Probably.
was my week. That was me this week. What about you? You got anything good?
Oh, I don't know if I can beat that one. That's
It's pretty solid. I know. Don't stress yourself.
Oh
I just
no.
spilled my coffee. It's fine. It's fine.
No. You're okay. No burns though, right? Okay.
Oh, it's so cold. It's so cold.
What happened to your mug? You don't have the mug today? What's it called?
It's
The magic
charging.
mug?
My Ember mug, which is the best thing ever. It's charging because I used it this morning. Remember, it's 3:30 here now.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I have, let's see here. I have a health what the fuck moment from a client, and it's actually kind of funny. It's sort of in line, actually exactly in line with what we were talking about. And this isn't a recent client. This is just someone who popped into my head that I worked with a while back, but came to me for acne, obviously. And when we first started working together, I felt so bad. This girl was basically like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I've had my blood tested. All my hormones are normal. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. And so we did the hormone test on her, and it turns out that her testosterone was normal, but it was converting at such a high rate. So she did have that like Hulk sort of testosterone. Yeah. So it was such a mystery to her why. Some of those other medications that people might try when for acne before they get to me usually are things like spironolactone, which is technically a diuretic, but they use it for acne because it helps block that testosterone conversion. So it was such a mystery to her as to why the spironolactone had worked, but nothing else worked, but her testosterone was normal according to her blood test. So, right? So when we figured that out, I was like, oh, okay, well, that makes a lot of sense.
Did you do a Dutch test on her
Yeah.
to find that out? Wow. Oh, that's great. That is really great. See, sometimes you guys, it's just those nuanced, tiny little adjustments. Like arguably, although it is going to be life-changing for her, that wasn't some like huge thing, but it was so vital, one of those tiny things. That's amazing. Wow. That's so
And
cool.
the reason it just makes me kind of think like, what the fuck is for her is because, yeah, the frustration of I went to get my blood tests and I keep being told nothing's wrong. So it's just, again, another short message to our listeners that there are different kinds of testing out there and none of them are wrong or necessarily better than the others. It's just
Yeah,
a different
they're
way
just
of looking
different.
at it.
And you're not alone. You're not alone. Like, there's so many of us. Solidarity, my sisters.
Yeah, I think that wraps this up then, I guess, right, Kylie?
Yes, it does. All right, you guys, we will see you next week. Talk to you all
Woo-woo!
soon. Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening to Curious Women. If you love our show, you can support us by leaving us a 5-star rating and review. And if you know someone else who would really love our show, please share it with them too.